All right, get on your headphones. Get on your headphones.
I'm like halfway through that other book.
Yeah. Do you think you can get your head out of Lock and Key for long enough to do a podcast?
If I had a magical key, it would work a lot better.
I know what it's like for me when I'm like watching a movie or really invested in some sort of lore-ish something.
If I could read a little bit of my bad advice book,
yeah,
that would probably get me out of Lock and Key.
You just start reading it on the podcast? We're going to take a 5-minute break right now. That is going to be entirely recorded for Tanya to read her bad advice book. Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Tanya.
We've got 3 kids. Rainey.
Your Highness.
Emerson.
Oh, wait, let's do it.
And Atlas. We're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up as we stumble through the joys and sorrows of life.
This is the journey of 2 young, homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
Hey, you interesting house with questionable character.
Ooh. Am I beautiful on the outside and beautiful on the inside, or ugly on the outside or ugly on the inside?
Well, okay, I wasn't going into like specifics of like you don't actually very much like really relate to the compliment this
okay.
week. It's just a thing that sort of
references.
Yeah, yes, very relevant to our lives. But well, maybe get to that late. I don't know. Is that follow up? That might be follow up. Should we talk about that?
Are we doing follow up right now? I have follow up.
Yeah, let's do follow up.
Okay, so just in time for this podcast, our resident MD friend. Jesse gave us some feedback. So he said, he honestly messaged me this right around 4 today. So perfect timing, Jesse.
Nice.
He said he doesn't have a lot of familiarity with every pacemaker device, but the information I can find suggests that as long as you don't get the device closer to 12 inches from the dog fence, it should cause no problem. So unless your neighbor is walking over on his hands and knees, he probably doesn't need to worry. But if you're older, you never know what will happen.
It's true. I was thinking about this as I was listening to our podcast again, that it's like, yeah, there's nothing about that that quite makes sense. And it's probably one of those things where airlines tell you to put your phones on airplane mode because of some weird incident that happened a couple of times, maybe. That they just do make it a blanket statement to just not do that, even though, I mean, technology is sophisticated enough now that having your phone on the plane is probably not going to disable thousands of dollars worth of equipment.
Not even 0.1% risk of getting shocked walking over a dog fence.
Exactly. So, I mean, if all you're doing is getting in a car to go across the dog fence, I mean, that's not a big deal.
Then according to, he said, information about alcohol and cancer does seem to suggest an increased risk of cancer with alcohol consumption. Mm-hmm. However, with moderate consumption, this risk may actually be offset because your risk of dying from cardiovascular causes is actually slightly lower. If you drink some alcohol, the benefit is not great enough to suggest that anyone who currently does not drink should drink alcohol. However, consumption of less than 14 drinks per week for men and 7 drinks per week for women is completely fine, given the balance of benefits and harm. To which I said, it's very unfair that men can drink more alcohol. But fat looks better on women, so who's really winning?
Hey, there you go.
The end.
Sweet. So one piece of follow-up for me would be that happened to succeed at the bureaucratic nightmare that is the New Jersey electrical licensing process.
You two kids, if you are listening to this, can learn bullying with dad jokes will get you all you want in the world.
Stop it. Stop it.
I'm fine.
I know. It's good. You're kidding. I know you're kidding, and everybody else knows you're kidding because they got the explanation last time. But and I don't think I can necessarily credit it to the dad jokes because she never did respond to me. But one day when I called in, one of the people said, "Yo, actually, it was approved this morning. So looks like you're good to go." And I'm like, "Awesome, sweet, that's great, cool." And so, And then I finally got my papers in the mail, and I can actually go pull permits in New Jersey now, and it's a wonderful thing.
Woohoo!
One other piece of follow up. Would be on the whole question of whether to pay off our mortgage or not. I talked to you after the fact of that podcast, like to try to grill out some more information from you, like what your actual thoughts were, because I had a feeling you weren't quite telling me what you actually wanted. And we kind of landed on, well, you kind of want a new house, different house, bigger house, which is understandable because we have a, you know, a house of limited size and our children keep getting more plentiful and larger.
And we have no closets.
And we have no closets.
And we also live on the side of like a major highway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's that too.
There's many little paper cuts about this place, some much larger than others.
But it has been a great house for this season of life.
Yeah.
And I am very grateful.
So then, with that, our focus turned to, well, then what do we want to do with this house? Do we want to sell it? Do we want to rent it? What do we want to do? So now that we've like started this whole, do we want to pay off our mortgage conversation? Now we are seriously looking into buying another house and maybe turning this one into a rental.
Oh, honey, I just think you're going to lose your marbles.
No, I'm going to set up systems.
You will look back on this moment.
Yes.
Being like, oh, naive young Derek.
2 years later, I will be listening back through podcasts and be like, oh, this is where everything went very wrong. But no, I have plans and ideas and want to talk to people who do rentals and make sure that I have my ducks in a row and know like what are the big things that I need to be thinking about and set aside money for if there's stuff that needs done that I can't get over to fix and things like that. But it is a lot of questions. It's a big, obviously they're big decisions and there's obviously like lots of money involved when you start talking about two different houses and then taxes get weird and all sorts of stuff. So
riveting.
Yeah. So potentially more on that later on down the line. And I don't know. We're going to start going and looking at houses and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Probably colorful commentary coming about houses in the future.
We may or may not do short reviews of the houses that we go look at. One of the ones that we're kind of interested in is a very strange house that has weird bones and weird character.
And weird add-ons.
Yeah.
And the kitchen is the hallway of doom.
But it could be. Yes, yes. Very aptly said. But it looks like it could be kind of fun to make our own.
If it was a person, people would say, it has a good personality. Except where that relates to the house would be the innards, and the innards are actually as ugly as the outers.
Mostly you're just in it for the backyard.
And the basement. But I can now imagine how we could fix up that house. So, you know, I feel like I sound super hoity-toity and ungrateful.
Well, it's a pretty terrible kitchen. I mean, let's be honest.
We just fixed my kitchen and I'm like, we're going to leave it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I love my oven. Like, and if I go into that house, like I'm going to feel it right away. I don't even know if there's a dishwasher in that house. And then I'm like, well,
there is.
We just bought a house. We can't be like, let's get a new dishwasher. Let's get a new oven. Like,
you kind of set money aside for that sort of thing, I think.
Anyways.
I think that's how people do it typically. Like you save a few thousand dollars for several thousand dollars for like doing upgrades and things. And because whenever you move into a house, you're going to, especially if you've had your own house to begin with, you're going to have things that you want to change because you've changed your other house to certain standards. Anyway, we can definitely figure that out. But lots of interesting and exciting conversations there. So without further ado, any more follow-up from you?
No, I just want to go and look really quickly at the stove to see if it's a stove that mice could go in.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm pretty sure it's one of the coil stoves.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, everything in that house is kind of old. And honestly, like looking at the pictures of the house online made me think very much of this house before I completely like repainted everything, took all the wallpaper off and took out all the carpet and stuff.
It definitely is a coil stove, but it has like a timer and a clock on it.
Oh,
it's not as old as our previous one.
Fancy. And we'll just have to just not let mice in there. That's all we got to do. Easy as pie.
Oh, yeah. Super easy.
Oh, one other fun life thing that happened since the last podcast before we get into stuff we've learned is that Rainey just had her first communion.
Yeah.
Which was cool. So I don't know. I guess I just kind of wanted to mark that as a cool thing that happened. Just kind of walked her through, kind of told her how everything, what communion was and what we do, why we do it. And yeah, she partook with us and it was lovely.
Yeah.
I loved it. So, things we've learned. So, I've been learning how much sugar is in things. This, I don't know why I decided to think about this now, but it was something that I just decided, you know, I'm just going to start looking at all the nutrition facts and see how many grams of sugar there are and how much that is of the daily, consumption suggestion. So here's a couple of items. Ketchup. In 1 tablespoon of ketchup, there is 4 grams or 8% daily value of the sugar that you're supposed to intake. And I don't know of anybody that uses only 1 tablespoon when they use ketchup.
Well, some of us do.
Some of you do. Just a little dribble. Just a taste.
A tablespoon?
A tablespoon is not that big.
A tablespoon is a lot, honey. You realize when it says tablespoon, they don't mean like a spoon that you use at the table, but like a measuring tablespoon.
Yeah, but that's not a ton. Like if you got a half a plate of fries going at Funk's, you need more ketchup than that. Oh, she's going and getting the tablespoons. Here we go. She's getting tablespoon. Let's take a look at it. A visual aid on this audio podcast. She's getting out ketchup now. Oh my word. Okay. Are you going to make me eat ketchup on the show out of a tablespoon? Oh, okay. That is a good amount of okay. All right. That seems right. I will just set that there. Okay, that is a decent amount. That's fine. That's an acceptable amount of sugar to be in ketchup.
Now it's going to smell like ketchup in here. I regret all of my decisions even though I have one. Ketchup is a smell that I just don't like. Like, I love ketchup, but I don't like smelling it, like, for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will not. Sometimes, even when we have, like, a little bit of ketchup on our plate, I just run the rinse cycle in the dishwasher because I hate opening up the dishwasher and smelling ketchup all day. I don't know why.
Weird. Okay.
Now my finger smells like ketchup. I don't need to smell it, but I know it's there.
In another thing, in an Aldi toffee almond cookie, single cookie, mind you, there is 14 grams of sugar or 21% of daily value in a single cookie.
Those
you can easily eat like 2 or 3 of them without.
Well, you will eat like 10 of them, but those are big cookies.
They're pretty big.
I wouldn't suggest eating a cookie every day.
But like those.
And we don't eat a cookie every day.
Well, right.
Except for when we get 3 packs of cookies from Aldi and eat them all
exactly.
In half a week.
And like those Girl Scout cookies, the coconut ones, those have about the same amount of sugar with just 2 of them.
I mean, those aren't Girl Scout cookies; those are Aldi. But
right,
yes.
They're Aldi. They're
Samoa
Girl Scout cookies.
Samoa taste alike.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, if you like Girl Scout cookies, but you don't want to support them or don't want to pay the money for the Girl Scout cookies, let's be honest.
Steal the joy away from little girls.
They
all
have
America.
Super cheap alternatives at Aldi that I like better.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting because when I used to work at House of His Creation, we always had people donate Girl Scout cookies to us, and our director said that Deb was like, our directors feel weird about us like receiving these for free because they send so much money to Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were donating them to us. And we're an organization that is trying to encourage single mothers to, not abort their children.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but they're also really delicious and we didn't pay for that. Ibbly jibblies anyways.
That's funny. Quaker instant oatmeal, cocoa, and sea salt. 8 grams or 16% out of something that does not taste sweet and is ostensibly good for you.
Not necessarily, but you also realize that sugars are like not just added sugars, but natural sugars. And
right, but it's still
the amount
like,
of sugar in like an orange.
But if you still have
everything
a ton of natural
chemicals.
Sugar, no, if you still have a bunch of natural sugar, like it's still going to be like, it's still going to have the sugar effects on you. Like sugar is what will, it tends to be what is unhealthy as opposed to other, I mean, there's other things, but, sugar is a thing that is in a lot of our food, and a lot of it is in our food. And it's just, it's one
eat
of the
eat a little
things
bit of everything, you're going to be okay.
I
just
know,
don't
I know.
Eat all the ice cream for breakfast.
This is just a realization of one of the realizations of like thinking about what's going in my food. And it's
that's good. You know, good to, it's also good a little bit masochistic, but I am all about you making healthy choices for you. That's great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I try to make those too.
Okay.
I would just like to note for the audience that out of everybody in this family, the person who is freaking out about sugar is the person
I'm not
who will
freaking out about. Okay, let me clarify.
Half a carton of ice cream.
Yes.
For breakfast.
And I have not done that since I've started thinking about that.
Which is great.
Which
so
is
this
great.
Is probably
this is
a valuable discussion.
Exactly. Exactly. I was expecting a lot more support on this journey from you than this, but that's okay. I'll just go on my own.
I'm sorry. I support you being healthy. I'm starting to feel a little like backlashy because it feels like it starts to border on woo when we obsess over one ingredient over another.
No, this is just how I go through things. I learn about one thing and then I go through and I learn about the next thing and then I go through and I learn about the next thing.
Cool.
And then things like that. So I'm not just.
It's just
stay.
When somebody starts counting the sugar in their ketchup, I'm like. Are we going to like start having a conversation what foods are good and what foods are bad? Because I don't really want children to embrace that ideology.
What it's about is that just trying to get an awareness of generally what is in the food that I eat. Because usually I just do not care. I do not think about it at all. And I'm usually the one that is snarfing down the sweet things. Like that is the thing that I will tend to overeat on is the sweet stuff. So... that's why I'm trying to get a better sense of that. Because I don't really have a problem with, protein necessarily. Or whatever. Anyway.
I feel like this entire thing sounded like we were fighting for people who don't know us.
Oh, no. We are not fighting. We are not fighting. This is playful banter.
It is very playful.
And
I love you very much.
Yeah.
And respect you.
Also, there's 6 grams of sugar in an emergency packet that is 9.1 grams. That's
is this really a surprise, though?
No, it's really not. But I saw it in there. I was like, oh, that's got to be good. So I.
It's because people mix that into an entire cup of water.
Mm-hmm.
We just.
Well, but still,
we just like dump the entire pack in our mouth and then drink it with like a gulp of water.
But but people get emergency presumably because it is all like vitamins and good stuff that will fight off a cold, and it's mostly sugar.
Yep. Which lowers your immune system.
But it's also a super ridiculous amount of vitamin C that can never possibly do anything for you.
Anyways, I promised myself that I wouldn't talk about anything woo or anti-vax or, you know.
This is not the Dream Podcast.
Yes. Even though I'm reading that really good book by Paul Offit. But, mm-hmm. I don't want this to be science with Derek and Tanya.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, we can
also
move on.
Also, we're not qualified for this to be science with Derek and
Tanya. No, of course not. Please don't make any scientific decisions off of us unless you're choosing to vaccinate, in which case, please do vaccinate. Continue. Mm-hmm. What have you been learning?
So I learned that your crazy thoughts are called the call of the void or intrusive thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Just like our conversation,
yes.
Which I found really intriguing. It's like when you're sitting in church and you're like, what would happen if I stripped off all my clothes and walked forward? That would absolutely destroy my life. Or
mm-hmm.
like,
yep.
You know, when you're standing on the edge of the cliff and you have this thought in your head, what would happen if I fell off? What would that feel like? And what would death feel like? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, boy, I'm insane. And I hope that nobody ever finds out that these are the thoughts in my head. Apparently, everybody has those thoughts. And they are called the call of the void or mm-hmm. intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thoughts are more like...
those are more like invasive, like that people that have poorer mental health will act upon. Call of the void, I think, is something that typically everybody has as sort of like your brain working on... working through dangerous situations and thinking about what would happen if you went and did certain things. I think intrusive thoughts tend to be more actionable for people, and that tends to be more descriptive of mental illness in some way, which could be a thing in ADHD or autism, or if you're high on meth or something, like, you know, people will do things like that.
So That was something that I learned.
Yeah. Neat.
What about you?
Well, something else I learned was that there are people who don't fidget at all. Like, there are people...
I learned that too.
There are people that just sit in Sunday school and don't move at all for the entire 45 minutes to an hour.
I don't know how they do it.
They just sit there and listen and keep their eyes forward and look at who's the person that's talking. They don't, like, you know, move a little bit to, like, you know, stretch their arm, or they take pens apart obsessively. Or now that's obviously not a typical thing for everybody, but that's one thing I like to do. But yeah, it's just like I knew intellectually there are people that don't have problems with fidgeting, but I haven't like actually sat down and looked at people and observed that, wow, they really don't move. And that's insane. So this was a fun thing that I had shared with you before, and I wanted to share with the audience as well. What else have you learned?
Well, Rainey had a moment where she cut her foot on our very old floors.
Oh, yeah.
And in the midst of her breakdown from the trauma of her foot bleeding and everything, she said, "I don't want to be me. I want to be someone else." And I thought mm-hmm. that was like a perfect encapsulation of being in pain, whether it's emotional or physical. How we all feel, and was very succinct. And I told her that throughout the next few days that there will be times like that in her life when she will be in pain and want to be someone else, but she will push through and heal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely been a thought that she's been exploring more too since, like, she said that to you. Because she said that in other situations to me too now. Like,
I want to be someone else.
I want to be somebody else, or I don't want to be me, or I wish I was.
Yeah. Well, so-and-so. She says that a lot. I wish I was so-and-so because they're so pretty, mm-hmm. which is crazy to me that at four, she's already sensing that and feeling that. And
I wonder if it's that she thinks they're pretty or just because she has good feelings when she's around them. Like, I don't know if she's
quite... that's how she's like expressing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's possible that she's already picking up on the pretty thing, but, or she just doesn't. But yeah, it's been interesting to watch her mind kind of chew on that idea and support her emotionally during the process as well.
What else have you learned?
So I've been doing journaling making myself a list every day, and also been making like sort of longer term projects, you know, to keep it top of my mind. And I've been finding it helpful to write down like, come up with 1 or 2 hour house projects that I think will take 1 or 2 hours or maybe a little bit longer, and putting them there. And then when I have time during the morning, I can just go work on that thing, and usually it won't take 1 or 2 hours and I'll get it done. So I've gotten a couple of things done this way. One of them was fix the kitchen ceiling tile racking.
How long of a project was that for you then?
That ended up being probably 45 minutes.
Oh, maybe really?
30, 45 minutes. Because wow. I kind of got to take a bunch apart up there in order to get the thing out.
It looks so good now.
Yeah, it doesn't fall down anymore. So that's always a plus. There was something else that was on there too that I did that I don't remember.
Well, you've been doing the bathrooms at, like, this week and last week.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely...
without any sort of prompting, and that's magical, man.
That is definitely a product of me doing these lists and like...
Oh, I know. I'm
having
here
a
for
thing
it.
To come. I've actually... this, I don't know. Yeah, this is going to go on the podcast anyway. What, you know, I don't care. I've actually been also putting pooping on my list in the morning, because it gives me permission to poop in the morning as an activity that I have to do. Otherwise, I'll just hold it till I get to the office and then I have to do it at a very inconvenient time.
And we all know that pooping for you is an activity.
No, well, no, but if I put it down as an activity, it goes much faster because it's part of my list of things. So
I wish I could put my morning poop down as an activity.
Yeah, that's true.
But actually, it happens like I'm reading a book and I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to have to poop at the end of this book. And then that doesn't happen. And then I'm like, guys, I need to poop. I need to poop now. And then I run out of the room. And the entire time that I'm pooping, Murray will be like, "You poop, mama? You poop?" And Rainey will be like banging on the door like, you can wipe, right? You'll be okay. And then Murray will be like, "Hey, naked mama." And that's just how that's, and then there will be a collection of toys and books relocated to me during the process with requests. Or Murray will just sit there crying because I can't read the finding book to him over that time. He's obsessed with that book. He has followed me around the house the last 2 days asking for me to read it to him. And it does not matter how much I read it to him. He will break down if I tell him that we have to do something else.
He gets really attached to the stuff he wants to do.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy.
It is. He's like that with everything right now. He feels things big. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Except for when I'm not.
Whether it be games, like doing video games or that book, or like if you're playing with the ukulele, like if I want to play with it, just like, things like that. It's, but anyway, so yeah, the lists have been extremely helpful, and I've definitely noticed on the days when I have not had a list made or made a list that I do not do as many things. So it's, it's been working great for me, me and my old ADHD. So there's that part. You want to ask me what else I've learned?
I don't think I want to. I think this is a good place where we end.
Oh, thank you for asking, Tanya. Thank you so much for leading into this. I very much value your support of me bringing this up.
I know what you're going to say. I was going to tell you not to say it, but I knew it was going to happen anyways. But I don't think you should say it because it's not conclusive and I don't agree with you.
Okay, so Tanya...
Don't do it.
Tanya totally has ADHD and I have no idea why I did not identify it up until now. And let us also put this disclaimer out there that Tanya's in denial and it's not... Obviously, she has not been fully diagnosed. Like,
I have
actually
not been
diagnosed.
To a doctor. She's not been to a doctor. And so this is not reality.
It's reality, but we haven't been diagnosed yet by a medical professional. I had her... No, she... You were thinking about this during a meeting when you just felt like you couldn't pay attention to what was going on, and you were like, you were asking about ADHD symptoms or whatever, and I sent you over a test to take, and...
I had been thinking about it for a while because I had watched the person that you watch all the time. What is her name?
How to ADHD. I don't know her name.
I think it's Jessica.
Yes, that's right, Jessica.
But she did a TED Talk, which was really succinct and well done, and then ended up sharing that the person who she is with now, her partner, has ADHD. And I feel like she said that she helped to diagnose him or something. Mm-hmm. But anyways... Yeah. I was like, I wonder how common ADHD is, and I don't know, partners find it in each other. And
yeah.
I don't know what led down that rabbit trail, but I definitely have trouble focusing sometimes. And I was like, does that definitely mean that I have ADHD? I think that everybody struggles to focus some at some periods. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there were certain conversation topics and staff meetings that I was just like, I am trying to track that with this, but I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a rather convoluted subject, so there's that. But
yeah, but still. So I sent you an online test that looked fairly reputable. And
your mother said that it seems like they're out to diagnose everyone towards ADHD.
The scoring system is a little weird. As far as like your two bottom results are like either like you have to answer rarely to like every single question, which probably would not be normal for a normal person. But you did score in the second to top tier of the thing out of you scored maybe a couple points under me basically as I took the test too. Anyway. And then this blew my mind when she got that score, and I was like, oh my word, I have accidentally married another person that is like me. And so I started going through everything in my brain trying to figure out, okay, how does her ADHD manifest if she has it? Like, I still wasn't quite believing it at this point, but trying to go through and think about like, what are the things? First huge thing is she basically runs her life on coffee. Ever since, like, she was a teenager.
That sounds so horrible.
It's not horrible. You mentioned something like, oh, I just thought everybody had...
Nobody can think clearly until they have coffee.
Mm-hmm. Nobody can focus without coffee or something like that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that can. There's a lot of people that use it for like, energizing or waking up.
Well, but I don't understand how you cut coffee out of your life just like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I've been having coffee for so long, and I've worked night shifts, which just cemented the need for coffee in mm-hmm. there. But it is true that I plan my productivity during the day into segments fueled by coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think everybody does that.
I don't know. It's brought into my mind to start like thinking about, oh, who are the people in my life that have a lot of coffee, and do they potentially have, are they a sleeper ADHD agent sort of thing? Like, you figuring out that you have potential ADHD has just been like, who else am I missing that around me that has ADHD and doesn't know it and probably should know it so that they can like understand it and mm-hmm. find ways to cope with it.
I think that a lot of my pushback for having ADHD as a diagnosis would be that I feel like it will end up being it's the same reason that I don't really want to give myself an Enneagram, because I don't want to give myself an excuse
mm-hmm.
for bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's just because you have diagnosed yourself with ADHD or given yourself an Enneagram number, it does not mean that you are giving yourself excuses for bad behavior. But for right. myself, I feel like it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So taking that test, a lot of those things, a lot of the questions were very surprising for me, because one of them was like, how often do you interrupt conversations, I think. And mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm constantly trying to finish people's sentences for them, but I assumed that this was just empathy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, like, maybe I'm like struggling to, like, people in my brain, I think people are talking really slow, like they need some help to finish.
Uh-huh.
Which
yeah.
is, it feels really rude when I say that out loud.
Yeah, it doesn't come out of a place of like wanting people to shut up and like stop talking to you. Well, it depends on the person, but it comes from like trying to help them along with their thoughts.
No, and my fidgeting, when I think of ADHD fidgeting, I think about Derek, who is playing with a pen whilst he is podcasting and like destroys it.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
Which is why I got you a fidget cube, which is not my type of fidgeting. Like, my yeah. type of fidgeting is like scratching my head or like cleaning my nails or I don't mm-hmm. know.
Or playing with the headphone wire as you're talking in the microphone.
But then I looked around our Sunday school class and people were not fidgeting. And I was like, how do you not feel like you're imploding into yourself?
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, bodies just need readjustment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be, like, straightforward and honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things.
Great.
It's hard also because I'm a multitasker, because I have to be with being a mom. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my forgetfulness has grown since I've been a mom, because I've been managing so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
So is that ADHD or is that motherhood? Like...
So you probably have a milder form of ADHD than I do, which is, and I'm not like some full-blown ADHD madman as opposed to some people, but
you were humaning given pretty more, well, even without medication.
Yeah.
All things considered.
But I also had less responsibilities. I mean, certainly here at home, like I feel like you are my brain at home, or the house's mm. brain. It says, like, what needs to be done in the house? What's the plan for food? What is, you know, are the kids' clothes getting changed out for seasons and things like that? Like, that's not stuff that I deal with and would absolutely, you know, start forgetting things if that was on me. Let me just say, I'm constantly amazed by how you keep our house up and keep everything running. And I just, I'm so proud of you all the time.
Three kids have a lot of clothes. Sweet mercy.
But yeah, so it's possible that they're just manifest more when you have more things to keep track of. Because
although I was really smart in some subjects growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And really like unfocused in a lot of subjects too. And I know that we have a lot of like strengths and weaknesses. I think it's so crazy that you were so good at math, because math mm-hmm. and science, like I could never focus enough for them. But again, everybody has those subjects. So does that necessarily mean ADHD? Yeah. And then I realized that I used to leave lists for myself on my wrist as an adolescent and a teenager, because otherwise the things that I was trying to do would completely just leave my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do that anymore, so.
Yeah. The other thing that I've noticed more now that you pointed it out is you are one to get drawn into something, and I have to like call you or poke you a couple of times in order to like get you to respond to me, which
But everybody has those things.
I don't know about it. Maybe, but like it happens a lot. Like when you get sucked into something, like it's the same way it was for me with when I got into a good book when I was younger. Like people would call me across the house and I would just not hear it. Or be calling me in the same room and I would just not hear it. There's lots of things. Also, the external evidence would be your brother has already been diagnosed with ADHD mm-hmm. as a kid, and ADHD is highly genetic. And I'm also pretty sure that your mother has ADHD, which she has also said that she thinks she probably has.
Yeah, that was a very short conversation for you to convince her of that.
It was very short. I was expecting a lot more pushback, but it's very clearly, it's pretty obvious. And I understand and appreciate her so much more now even.
She is always really cool. Open to being very teachable or willing to educate herself about a lot of things. And I mm-hmm. think she is awesome.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So there's that. And so I just need to figure out at some point how to get you into a place for a diagnosis so that you become one of us.
One of us.
One of us.
What is that from?
I have no idea. I think it's some sort of a horror movie or something, but I don't know.
Wait, is that in...
It's referenced in like everything.
Yeah, but that... I'm really tired.
Oh, Milo Murphy?
Yeah.
Maybe?
When they go down into like the underground with like the underground people, don't they go one of us?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe I'm crazy.
There's probably a reference for that in that somewhere. But anyway, so that was the last thing I learned. And we should probably wrap up this session of the podcast so that we can get to our eclipse review. My eclipse review that I forgot last time to do
mm-hmm.
because I forgot it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this will be after the credits.
You were like... typing feverishly through the whole movie, though, so I can't imagine that you're going to miss something.
Yes, we will see. So thank you for letting me talk about your ADHD on the podcast without it being confirmed for sure.
I thought about telling you beforehand. I know why you're very excited to podcast. I know what you're planning. But yeah. I just decided to bide my time. Oh my goodness. And catch you in the act, because I knew there was no stopping you ahead of time and I didn't want to spoil your fun.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because it was a lot of fun and I'm glad that you,
I'd just like to say that I know who you are and you are very easy to forecast.
I'm okay with that, as long as you're the one doing it.
Except for the TikToks you've been sending me. I'm like, I don't know this person at all. This is horrifying.
Oh, that has been fun. Yes. But for now, I love you. And let's go review Eclipse. Thanks for listening. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram at SetToLearn or leave us a voice message at talk.settolearn.com. But until next time, keep learning. And it's the after show where we talk about movies, bad Twilight movies. Okay, so this movie, I remember saying in my review of the last one, was it New Moon, that I tolerated that movie for what it was trying to do, which was set up the conflict to come in the next couple of movies. This movie does a lot of the same stuff with just a little bit more lore, which I appreciate the lore stuff. I don't appreciate the rest of it. Just scanning through my notes, there's a lot of hormones in this movie. There's no, and ironically, there's also zero emotional range in this movie. Is that everybody is just
you made a very wise comment that there's always danger in this movie, so there's not a lot of opportunity for emotional range.
Yeah. So there's no humor, there's no like...
There's a little bit of humor. There was like the punching scene.
Yes, that's true. And there was the whole virgin conversation, which was, I guess, awkwardly humorous. So we get to see a little bit more of the Volturi. We get to see what red-haired vampire lady's been up to. She's building herself an army of newborn vampires, and they're just ready to get to war and just go fight the vampires up in, let's see, what they were created in Seattle. Where are the Collins located?
A place that always rains.
yeah. So there's weird vampire stuff going on. They're really trying to convince us that Bella will miss humanhood. You're trying to tug on all the heartstrings. She goes and visits her mom in Florida, and Edward comes with her for like protection. And there's also like keeping secrets from people.
Jojo Rabbit is now available on Blu-ray and digital media.
We already bought it.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I want to watch it again.
Me too. That's a good one. Jacob is still totally into Bella. Okay. So we raise stakes by saying Jacob is imprinted on Bella now, which is...
They didn't necessarily say that.
But it is what is very heavily suggested. Jacob didn't want to say it because that'd be weird, but clearly he's suggesting it.
We will see.
I don't know, man. There's so many conversations of why should or shouldn't Bella do the thing of becoming a vampire? Why should she stay human? Why shouldn't she be a vampire? And like none of them are very convincing. It's terrible all the way through until like finally Edward gives some good reason why she shouldn't be a vampire before.
Which is
because... Anyway, what did I say here? Oh, no. Okay, so here was the thing. Edward gives... I don't remember what the good reason was why Edward thinks she shouldn't be a vampire. But Bella just says, oh, I just thought you wouldn't like me as a vampire. And then, because she was all, like, you know, insecure about why doesn't Edward want her as a vampire. And Edward gives this reason that he totally gives in the last movie. And I'm just sitting there like, Edward told you that in the last one. You're just not listening. You're not paying attention. There's basically, there's a lot of relationally frustrating things in here that frustrate me. But let me get to the parts that I like. We've got vampires fighting. We've got backstory of vampires. We've got like Civil War vampires. And what was the other one we got backstory on? There was another one, right? Did we get Alice backstory?
Rosalie.
Which one was that? I forget.
Rosalie is the one who was living in like a Victorian era and
and she didn't want to be a vampire. She regrets being a vampire.
Yeah, but she was raped and basically dead.
Yeah, that's right.
All she wants is a family and a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that was, like, there was some good backstory stuff going
and
on.
And then Alice's beau was part of an army created. That was his backstory.
Right. Yep. Yep.
I think those were the only two backstories you got.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, so I made a note on the lady vampire. Recounting her death and revenge was really great.
Oh, yeah, because she dressed up in a wedding dress to kill people.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
All of the men.
It was so good. I made a note here. Dakota Fanning is still awesome. Because the Volturi come around and be like, hey, you know, do we need to solve this problem?
Hashtag spoilers.
Yeah. Well, this whole thing here is spoilers.
The ketchup is still sitting there. It really is still bothers
me. We'll take care of that. We'll take care of it. So then Bella does a thing that there's a whole conversation that Bella's a virgin with her dad and it's good awkward parent-daughter talk.
Honestly, her dad is like the best character in the entire movie, let's be honest.
His character is pretty good. And then my next bullet point is, okay, never mind, she wants to not be a virgin. And then I have all these questions in here, like, do vampires have sex, like, with each other? That's a strange existential question that I will ponder for all of eternity. Edward is all gentleman, though, even though he insists he has no soul. But instead of deflowering her, Edward proposes for real, and Bella says yes.
I told you, as copious notes.
Yeah. I have a note under here that says werewolf cuddles. Oh, because they're on the mountaintop and Bella's cold, and then so Jacob, because he's really warm, has to cuddle the werewolf, and Edward gets all weird. And oh, and then Bella kisses Jacob. So okay, this whole movie, Jacob is trying to convince Bella that she is in love with him, despite having absolutely no evidence whatsoever toward that fact, besides the fact that Jacob wants Bella to be in love with him. And then she goes and kisses him on this mountaintop where she is being protected by Jacob and Edward because this whole vampire fight's going on down below. And it makes absolutely no freaking sense and just bothers the crap out of me. And then it bothers Edward too. And of course, it's just all this. It doesn't make any crap dang sense. Oh, and then Jacob like sacrifices himself for Bella, but he's not going to die, obviously. Jacob's bedside, again, Bella says the I love you thing. And it's like, it didn't give me any sign that Bella was like thinking that she actually loved him. I thought the whole conflict was over whether she should be a vampire or not. And I don't know. And then at the movie, Bella and Edward are going to go tell her dad, and then the movie ends. And all the newborn vampires are dead. They actually went down pretty easy, despite everybody saying that they don't go down easy. But it was a fun battle scene. Werewolves and vampires working together. And Volturi stuff. Volturi stuff was fun. Killing an innocent girl. Well, that was kind of an interesting insight into the Volturi's their priorities. So I'm tentatively excited for the next one.
Wow.
It's the same sort of excited that I had at the end of New Moon, though, that Eclipse did not live up to most of the way.
Yeah, but you're even with that disappointment, you're still
because
in
I
it
feel
the
like
next
the next one.
One
has to be.
I remember coming out of that theater and being like, this was horrible. And all of these like middle-aged women coming out like talking about Jacob, and I was like, I am so uncomfortable. This was so horrible.
Yeah.
Feelings that I didn't experience with Hunger Games. Like,
yeah, and a lot of this is like, I'm excited to see the next one, partially because I have to see the next one. But also because I know what sort of a level of movie I'm looking at. And I'm in it for the lore and pretty much the whole point of the movie, which is like the relationships and stuff, I am absolutely not into at all. So we'll see how that continues to play out, if that gets any better. But Yeah. So the next one is the start of the finale, right? Is that right?
Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Yeah. So now we can watch that. We can watch that and take copious notes and then talk about it and then do the next one. And it'll be great. Any other like thoughts that you had when watching the movie again?
I just remember leaving that movie with Katie Brower thinking, well, this was an absolute poop show.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, that whole punching scene, the follow-up punching scene was really great.
Yeah, it had some fun moments.
Again, the books had more opportunity for emotion and more range of things, I think. But maybe I am just thinking that from my teenage adult mind. I don't want to say that because if you're a teenager, you can think straight. There may be hormones in your body, but I respect your opinion. And that was something that was not given to me as a teenager by some adults. And so I would like to have that mindset.
That's good.
But also, I just watched P.S. To All the Boys I Used to Love, P.S. I Still Love You or whatever. And I couldn't find any redeeming qualities in that movie, really. So that's not true. I'm sure they were there. There's always something positive to find. But
yeah, that's initiated a good conversation about what happens when...
I just want to be able to support my teenage Rainey and have conversations with her. My eloquence is fading right now.
We should go to bed.
So...
Bye.
Love you. Bye.